The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
That's great. I appreciate Brother Heminger and Brother Adams. Brother Adams wrote that song, and so praise the Lord for that. You know, God has used both of these men in their respective places. Brother Adams was a music director for over 50 years and has written over 1,000 songs. And so praise the Lord for that. What a wonderful blessing it is to have them as members here at Parkside Baptist Church. And so praise the Lord for that wonderful blessing. Well, as you see on the screen, I'm going to be preaching on how to handle breakdowns. Now, may I say in the very beginning here, as we look at this psalm, Psalm 142, that you'll see the story of David. Here, David now is in a place where he is penning the words of this song. He's penning the words of this psalm, and he's in a place of disparity. He feels helpless. He feels hopeless, and he's a very concerned man. But in his concern, he turns, and you can see the application throughout this psalm, and even more so at the very end, when he turns in his helpless state to Jehovah and says that he puts his trust in him. So how is it that you and I, when we find ourselves in difficulties, find ourselves in breakdown situations, how is it that we're able to handle those? May I say that in every breakdown situation, and there's going to be many, God is always the one that will help if you turn to him to meet the need in time of need. You know, as a pastor, I deal with people because of counseling, because of preaching, not just here, but in other places as well. And I deal with people that have mental breakdowns. I deal with people that have emotional breakdowns. I deal with people that have physical breakdowns. I deal with people that have financial breakdowns. I deal with people that have spiritual breakdowns. I deal with people that have relationship breakdowns. I deal with people that have social breakdowns, moral breakdowns, political breakdowns, business breakdowns, and ministry breakdowns. You say, preacher, it sounds like there's a lot of breaking down going on. Well, there is. And when you deal with people, you get to find out that people are real, and real people have real problems. Real people have real challenges. And by the way, as long as you're a person, you're always going to be challenged by being a person. And you're not the Savior, you're not the Holy Ghost, and you're not God. So you're going to have challenges as every human does. Now, what is it according to the scriptures? And as I was working completely on a different direction last night, and then I changed my direction completely with all that was going on, and I began to consider these things. And then I remembered this psalm. I remember this psalm because when I was in Bible college, I remember one time I had an inner ear problem, and it threw my equilibrium completely off. I mean, just, you know, I don't know if you've ever had that problem where your equilibrium goes wacko. And I remember turning to a friend of mine, and I said, look, I've got to get help, and I don't know what to do. Can you take me to some type of clinic or some type of medical walk-in deal? And he said, well, I work downtown Jacksonville, and he said, I saw one. I drove by it the other day. He said, I don't know any. Just get me there. That's fine. Well, I forgot to tell him to wait for me, and so he dropped me off. I go staggering in like a drunk man, and I told the doctor, I said, I've got some equilibrium problems. It feels like water's gathered behind the right ear again, and it throws my equilibrium off. And so, can you help me? He said, yeah. He said, if you take this, and he gave me some pills. He said, you go home, and he said, you take this. And he said, after, you know, a few hours or maybe a day or so, depending on how bad it is, it'll begin to dry some of that liquid up. And he said, you'll be fine. Well, I walked outside, and my dear friend had gone. And so here I am. I'm not thinking straight. I don't know the address of the college. I was a freshman. I had no idea how to get back to the college. I had no idea where I was. I was in a strange city. Everything is moving around. I'm feeling my way. And then all of a sudden, up comes a police officer. And he said, "Are you okay?" I said, "Well, I don't think I'm okay." I said, "I'm lost." And I said, "I'd like to get back to the college where I'm attending. I got the equilibrium." "Oh," he said, "I'll take care of you." And he put me in the car. He would not let me sit up front, so it looked pretty bad going down the street. And I sat in the back, and then he took me right up to the door, and I got it. Well, that didn't look good either. Here I am, a freshman in Bible college. I'm getting out of the back of a police car, and then he helped me to the door. Everybody, what happened to him? What'd he do? How'd he get in trouble? What'd he do? How'd he break the law? And so that's the way I started my Bible college years. But I remember taking those pills, and it helped me after a while, by and by. Now, can I tell you, if you're going down the road and you break down, you're going through life and you break down, it is not time to give up. It is not time, listen to me, friend, it's not time to throw in the towel. It's not time to give up in disparity. It is not time to say, in your darkest hour, I'm going to make some major decisions in my life. No, you never do it that away. But we're going to see exactly what the Bible says to do. Now look in Psalm, if you will, 142, verse 1. He said, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice," and it says, "With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication." And watch verse 2. He said, "I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble." So what do? First off, you have to know where you are. You have to recognize that if you're in trouble, you're in trouble. You have to recognize that if there is some things inside of you that is causing you to become distraught, you have to face those things and realize the reality of those things. Okay? So you have to realize where you are. Can I tell you, where people are different when they go through various things. It might be that you're on vacation. It might be that you're in a plane. It might be that you're in the backseat of a car. It might be that you're in a taxi cab. It might be that you're visiting a very busy city and you find yourself in a subway. It might be that perhaps you're among many people. It might be that you're by yourself. It might be during the time when you're excessively tired. It might be during the time when there's financial distress that finds its way upon you. It might be that you lost a friend. It might be that you gained a friend. It might be something of that caliber or even something totally different than that. But you have to know where you are. All right, statement number one. Statement number two, then evaluate your situation. Evaluate your situation. If you're on a boat and the boat is now sinking, it would be good to know where you are, not fantasize that you're someplace on a desert secluded island or standing on some solid rock. No, you can't fantasize it away. You have to realize where you are. If you never realize where you are, you'll never reach out to get the help that you need. If you never realize your predicament, if a person that is lost never realizes that they're lost, they'll never have a desire to get saved. If a person that is in financial disparity doesn't realize that their ship is sinking financially, they'll never consult someone to help them be able to get on board financially and go the right direction. If a person is having problems, until you understand that, somebody used to say, it's not my father, it's not my mother, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You have to understand that you cannot blame somebody else for the plight that you find yourself in, but you have to recognize where you are. There was somebody getting ready to dive out of a plane. They decided that they wanted to go skydiving. Several of our fellows that's in this room are trying for their to get their license or to get their recognition to be able to be a trainer, if you will, in skydiving. I'm so proud of them. Oh, I'm so proud of them. But I am not getting in that airplane. If I went up to go skydiving today, they would say, are you ready? And I would say, no. And they would say, I'm going to push you out. I'd cling onto that plane for everything it was worth. I'd be tearing the metal off of the side of that plane as I'm going down. I'd be grabbing the propellers if they had those. I'd be pulling the engine apart. I mean, I'm not interested. Thank you. I'll watch it from the ground. I'll drink my drink, and I'll be watching. I'll be taking pictures, and I'll be saying, wow, look at that. They're my heroes. God bless you. Hope you make it to the ground. Now, can I say, listen, you have to know where you are. If you find yourself on a plane, if you find yourself in a train, if you find yourself in that subway, if you find yourself in a cab, if you find yourself in a church, if you find yourself in a relationship, if you find yourself in financial despair, if you find yourself in some other state, can I tell you, you have to realize where you are in order to be able to get the help that you need. Then statement number two, I said, you have to evaluate your situation. What do you have at your hand? What do you have? Oh, you remember the widow woman. And the widow woman in the Old Testament, all of a sudden her husband died. Husband was a preacher. And the husband died and left her absolutely zero. Had no life insurance, had no money in the bank, had nothing to speak of. And the Bible says the creditors came and the creditors came to take her two sons to be bondsmen. And that's what they do back in those days. They liquidate everything. And if you couldn't pay nothing else, they take your children, and your children would become bondsmen. Or if you would please, they become household slaves. They would become people that would work off the debt that you would owe. That's the way they did it back in those days. All right, and so now comes the knock at the door. The knock at the door comes loud, and she answers the door, and they say, I've come to be able to take your two boys to be bondsmen in the house. Now, wait a minute. She goes running to the man of God, a man of God that was close friends to her preacher that was her husband, and said, what do I do? And he asked one question. He said, what do you have in the house? What do you have in the house? Can I submit something to you? Most of the times when you go through breakdowns, most of the time when you go through problems, most of the time the solution is right nearby you. Most of the time, God will show you what to do. Oh, it might be making a phone call. It might be praying. It might be turning to your husband or turning to your wife. It might be being able to find a gold nugget in the Word of God, a principle that helps you to understand how to dig your way out. Watch this. The Bible says in Psalm 142 and verse 3, the Bible says, and when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. Now, you understand Saul is... King Saul, that is hot on his trail. I mean, boy, he is ready to overtake him. And here you'll find that David is now hemmed up in a cave. And as he's hemmed up in a cave, he feels totally disjointed from society. As he's hemmed up in a cave all by himself, all these pressures are coming upon him. He don't know what to do. He don't know where to turn. It just seems like that life is coming to an end. And so what does he do? He knows where he is at. What does he do? He evaluates the situation. Notice in your Bible again, Psalm 142 and verse 3. The Bible says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, he says, then it says, thou knewest my path. So what's he doing? He's evaluating the situation. He says, in the way wherein I walked. It says, they privily laid a snare for me. Look at verse 4. The Bible says, and I looked on my right hand and beheld, and no boys in despair in me, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, and no man cared for my soul. Now, can I tell you, when you're going through the lowest hour of your life, it always, stay with me now, it always looks darker than it really is. The devil will paint it dark. The devil will make it look like there's no hope. But you understand that the devil is a deceiver. You understand that he's out to destroy you. Oh, you joined this church and you thought it would be perfect until you met a member. You started working on a bus route and you thought it would be absolutely phenomenal until the bus driver started to drive. You joined the youth department and you thought these are spiritual giants. And then you found out that they're spiritual midgets. Hello? Can I tell you, listen, I'm saying evaluate your situation, but understand the reality of the situation. It's not as bad as it appears. You say, how can you say that? I'll tell you how I can say it, because God's not dead. He still answers prayer. He still comes through. Hey, there's still hope for every marriage. There's still hope for every person that has children and child rearing. There's still hope for those of you that's finding yourself in financial despair and calamity. There's still hope for every single person. As long as God is alive, there's still hope. There's still refuge. There's still a Savior that's there in the time of need. And you have to recognize that He is there to help you. I'm saying this morning. I'm saying know where you are. Statement number next, evaluate your situation. Look at the options. Statement number three, call for help. Now I'm going to tell you something. The very first person to call is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, most of the people that rely on other people much is people that rely on Him little. But if you rely on Him much, then you don't have to rely on others but a little. There's just something greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. When you develop a relationship with Him, by the way, it makes your relationship with others better, because if you have Him and that person or persons has Him, He is for harmony. Amen. He is for helping in that relationship. And by the way, when you put Him first, He can help in any relationship. Amen. You think about this. Brother Bachman has done a tremendous job, and of course Brother Butler and others, perhaps Brother Denton Bell and others that's traveled with our tour group. So far this year, they have gone out, visit 27 churches, praise the Lord, 27 churches. Passed out 389 tracts, praise the Lord. Recorded, led 14 people to Christ, praise the Lord. Traveled 15,213 miles, praise the Lord, and had 5 breakdowns. Now, in all of that, there was great progress made. But there was also a time of breaking down. Oh, I was an athlete for many years. I ran track and field. And can I tell you, we went through the time in training where our bodies physically broke down. I remember when I was in Bible college many, many years ago, and I remember trying to learn my two hardest subjects was the intro to Greek and the intro to Hebrew. You say, why? Because I didn't even understand the intro to English. And so they were hard. Man, I'd stay up at night until 1 o'clock in the morning. Was I down there walking around in the cafe, and I even found myself hitting myself against that seam. That's what my problem is. I hit my head too hard, but I hit my head against that old cement wall, and so just trying to learn. And I did not go to college with good scholastical skills when it came to being able to retain or having a good retention level. So man, it was just like, woo, you know, I've got to get it in, got to get it in. They had sports program. I love sports. I played sports in high school. I like sports. But I never dared one time got on a football team. I didn't dare get on a basketball team. I couldn't do it. There's no way I could do that and be able to pass. There's just no way I could do it. So I said, okay, what am I here for? Am I here to be the college football hero or play on a team? Am I here to be able to help them to win a trophy? Or am I here to be able to learn the Bible so I can go through and be able to accomplish what God later on would have me to do? So I had to lay aside some things. I'm saying, here's what you do. You know to call for help. When Brother Bachman called and said he was broke down, and I learned about that with, I think, Brother Craig coming to me, and then later on, Brother Bachman also contacted me about this. He's trying to keep the pressure off of me, but I got involved in it just a little bit, and so, but the van broke down. The van broke down. I'm talking about the rental van broke down, the one that's not supposed to break down. The one that we pay good money and pay insurance on so it won't break down. It broke down. And so they were able to spend some fellowship time and stuff together. And so we thought, we got an idea. We're going to send another van to them. We have a church van. Oh, so we sent them the church van. And it was on the way over to pick them up, and it broke down. So now we got two different, I think Joseph was driving, Joseph Bradley, and it broke down, both of them having transmission problems. I thought, oh, no. So I got on the phone, and man, I started calling, and I've got all the names listed here. I'll not go over them. But I started calling this person, and they were out of town. I called this person. They were out of town. I called this person. They were on the way back into town. I called this person. They didn't answer because they knew what I was calling about. And so I just kept calling around. And then Brother Craig, God bless Brother Craig. Oh, hallelujah, Brother Craig. Amen. And so Brother Craig said, preacher, how can I help? Oh, that's any preacher's wish that somebody would come up and say, what can I do to be saved? I mean, how can I help? And so he came up to me and he said, how can I help? I said, well, if you can get a bus and go get them, because they got all this luggage. They didn't want to leave their luggage in the van, and I understand that. And so we said, okay, let's get a bus. And so he takes a bus, and he gets Nehemiah to go with him for company. And they pick up Joseph on the way from the second broken-down vehicle, and they're heading over two and a half hours away. They're heading over to pick up the stranded tour group. And as they get closer to where they are, the bus breaks down. Now, praise God, nobody called me on that one. But so all of a sudden, you know, they call Mike Lofton. Mike Lofton to the rescue. See, he's not all bad. Just because he has red hair, don't judge him. And so Mike Lofton gets in his vehicle, and I don't know if he has his wife driving. I don't know what the story is. I don't know if he pulled all the kids out of bed. I'm not really sure. But he took off over there, picked somebody up. They came all the way back here, got a bus, went all the way over there, and started picking up all the dominoes and putting them inside. And then they came all the way back and finally arrived here at 5:45 this morning. Amen. That's why he keeps falling asleep. Now, can I say this? Here's what they did. They said, okay, I'm going to call for help. All right? Now, can I tell you, the very first person that you call for help when you feel inside like things are collapsing and you're having some type of disparity or your finances and you don't know what to do, it'd be good to get in the Bible and find out what God says about it. It'd be good to find out what the leadership of the Lord is about this. And the Bible says here in Psalm 142 and verse 5, here's David. He's hemmed up there in the cave. Saul is after him. His life is now hanging in the balance. And here's what he says. He said, I cried unto thee, O Lord. He said, I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. So what did he do? He cried out. By the way, there's nothing wrong with crying out if you cry out to the right person. Amen. Listen to it. The Bible says in verse 6, it's attend unto my cry. Emphasis there. Attend unto my cry. He says, for I am brought very low. He says, deliver me from my persecutors. You ever feel like somebody's after you? You ever feel like that? You ever feel like that? I had a fellow years ago, and I was in Union City, Tennessee, and I had the privilege to have a part in this young man getting saved. And he said, would you come and visit me? I said, where do you live? He said, I live at the funeral home. I said, you what? He said, you remember this, honey? I live at the funeral home. And I said, what do you mean you live at the funeral home? He said, I live downstairs. I said, that's where the dead people are. He said, well, that's where I live. He said, I have an apartment just a couple doors down from the morgue. I said, okay. He said, and I want you to come visit me. I said, no. He said, well, if you don't come visit me, I'm not going to join the church. I said, join somewhere else. And he said, no, preacher. He said, really, you need to come visit me. I've been baptized. I'm a member of the church. I'd like for you to come by and visit me. And he said, why don't you come visit me? He said, I'll tell you what, if you don't visit me, I'm not going to tithe. I said, that's not my problem. Your tithe belongs to the Lord. It don't belong to me. So if you don't tithe, God will blister your bottom. I'm not going to worry about that. He'll handle you. I said, I'm not coming by. I said, if you want to visit, you come by my house. If you want a pastoral visit, you come by the office and we visit together. I'm not coming to no morgue downstairs. I'm sorry. I've heard about those places. I'm not going to do it. He said, what are you afraid of? He said, they're dead. I said, so what? I'm not coming. He said, can I tell you a story of what happened one night? He said, it scared me. I guess he figured since I'm not coming, he might as well tell me a story. And he said, I'm going to tell you a story. It scared me. And he said, one night, he says, I'm heading into my apartment. He said, I've got my key. And he said, I heard voices down in the morgue. I said, I thought you said that only the dead people are in the morgue. He said, that's what I said. But he said, somebody's talking. I said, I'm not coming. I mean, I'm not. I'm serious. I am not coming. And he said, well, let me tell you the story. I said, I'm not interested in your story. He said, let me tell you the story. And I said, okay. He said, I'm going in my apartment that night. And he said, I got a little bit scared. I said, yeah, I understand. He said, I'm putting the key in there. And I heard somebody talking a couple doors down. It's in the morgue. And I said, come on, man. He said, no, for real. Somebody's talking down there. He said, I was scared. I said, I would be too. And he said, so I went into my apartment, I got the bat. He said, because if those dead people were talking, I was going to kill them. He said, so I got the baseball bat. He said, I got scared, man. He said, because the closer I got, the voices got louder. He said, it was a man and a woman. He said, so they were conversating. By the way, come back tonight and I'll tell you the rest of the story. He said, but it was a man and a woman. He said, and they were conversating. He said, I was so scared. He said, my hands were all sweaty. My face was perspiring. He said, oh, it's so bad. He said, so he said, I'm reaching up there. He said, I got the baseball bat in one hand. And he said, I'm reaching up there. And he said, "I," we don't keep it locked because we really don't expect people to leave, you know. And he said, so he said, I turned that knob ever so slowly. And he said, I pushed that door in as quick as I could. And he said, I jumped in that room with great vigor and energy. And he says, where are you? And he said, I looked over and somebody left the radio on. Yeah, right. You thought they were alive, didn't you? Now, can I tell you this? What do? You call for help. No, not among the dead people. You don't do that. I'm saying this. I'm saying know where you are. Evaluate your situation. Call for help. Let me give you this and I'm done. Wait for the Lord's help. You know, God will always help. No, you're not saying amen loud enough. I said, God will always help. Psalm 142 and verse 7, the Bible says this. The Bible says, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. By the way, only God can bring you out of a breakdown situation. You see, it was God that allowed Kenny to get saved many years ago, knowing that Kenny was going to be on a tour bus and that Kenny was going to be the one that was going to drive that final bus. God had it under control. God knew that eventually Dr. Bachman, Brother Bachman, would wind up here being vice president of our college, and he would be the one that would go through all these breakdowns with all these people. God had it under control. Now, can I tell you, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, bring my soul, it says, out of prison, that I may praise thy name. Didn't say the name of and somebody else. It says thy name. It says the righteousness. The Bible says the righteous. It says the righteous shall compass me about, and thou shalt deal, it says, bountifully with me. Now, watch this. Look at verse 7. I'm almost done. He says, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently. Well, this is hard. Rest in the Lord. This is difficult. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man that bringeth wicked devices to pass. What's he say? He said, you got to rest in the Lord. You got to wait patiently on him. Well, I tell you what, things are not working out the way I thought they ought to work out, so I'm fed up. Well, don't be fed up too much. By the way, God's not fed up. Amen. Don't trust in you, trust in him. Well, my marriage, my kids, my in-laws, my outlaws, my neighbors, my boss, my relatives, my friends, Woo! Don't be too fed up. Let God have control. Those grandkids, every time they come to the house, they touch this and touch this and break this and throw this over there. Oh, it just gets on my nerves. Well, one thing you could is you could move your house. You could move around the things in the house. But don't give up. Oh, when I go home, I want to give my wife a huggy-wuggy and a kissy-wissy, and I try to huggy-wuggy her, and I can't find her, and try to kissy-wissy her, and I cannot find... I mean, she sucks her lips into the back of her neck, and I can't... It just doesn't work! Well, don't give up. Talking to married people now. Don't give up. Some of you kids, you know, you're 27. You think God forsook you. Oh, is there a God in heaven? Oh, give me a spouse. Be careful what you pray for. You just might get it. I'm saying this. I'm saying wait for the Lord's help. Don't be in a rush. Don't be in a rush. Patience, raise your hand. Every time you see Patience walking down the hallway, her name is Patience. You ought to be mindful to pray. Pray for patience, not for patience. I'm saying this, wait on the Lord's help. One more verse and I'm done. Psalm 27 and verse 14. The Bible says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I was raised a 180-acre farm, Millers, Maryland, first couple of years of my life. We had a summer house. How many know what summer house is? Raise your hand. Summer house. Yeah. Summer house is where we processed all the meat. Summer house is where we baked all the cakes. Summer house is where we jarred all the food. Summer house is where all the food was processed. There's a summer house. And the summer house was not a part of the house, but it was on the porch, and it was a little house, and that's where we did all the processing of the food. Well, I tell you what, when Myrtle Wagner, the lady that raised me, I called Maul respectfully because that's what she wanted to be called. And so, but when she would go over to the summer house, oh my, and she started making those pies. You could sit on the swing on the outside of that old farmhouse and smell the aroma of the pies coming your way. And you knew that it was going to be good. Hello. And then when we got to taste it, man, how can anybody live on a farm and not grow to be extremely big? I do not know. But when we tasted it, taste of the Lord and see that he is good. Oh, it was so good. Now, can I tell you, but if I would have tried to eat that pie before she was done making it, it would have tasted different. If you try to jump ship before God is done making you, you're going to have a different outcome. You let God continue to work on you. You let God continue to make you. You're going to go through rough times, dear friend. You will. You're going to go through times of disparity. You will. Every single person does it. And we all act differently when those times come, depending on what we know about breakdowns and how to handle them. But can I tell you, there's ways that God says that we're supposed to handle various times of breakdowns in our lives. Father, bless, we pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.